Wednesday. We got one in early.
We did. Who got it in early today?
Terry Green Bay, early Green Bay. He's ready for that Aaron Rodgers trade to, you know, commence with the Jets.
But that's what it is.
I think you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, brother.
Terry, let me ask you this, my man.
Waiting is the hardest part, though, Terry.
Waiting is the hard for anything, right? Like, if you get to, like, the restaurant early, it doesn't open until 11, you're there at 10:58, you're, like, waiting in the parking lot. Who's done that before?
I have.
Yeah? Me
Absolutely.
Too. Especially working these hours, right?
And I wait for, like, two or three people to go in.
Yeah,
and
you always
do that.
I don't
want to be the first one.
Yeah.
You pull up to Chick-fil-A at 10:30 and they say, hey, we're not serving till 10:45. You sure you don't have a chicken breast?
Yeah, you don't have anything back there you can give me? There was a chain restaurant that did that to me years ago. I banned
it. Wanted an egg.
I wanted an egg.
Was that what it was?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wanted an egg.
Remember that.
10:31. They said, no more eggs. I go, what?
They're gone for the day.
Go back in that walk-in and get me an egg. No, we don't have it. We're done. And then you start to realize, like, these restaurants turn over all their equipment, so they, like, physically can't make what you want. But I didn't believe this place did because it's kind of a breakfast joint. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So it must be then somewhere. Where is it? It's in the Beyond section.
You requested music on Wayback Wednesday, 913-586-7610, the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line. Tag your name so that you get the credit.
I did want to ask Terry this, though. I started to ask Terry this a little bit, and then we got derailed, which is shockingly on this show, Josh. We got derailed a little bit. I don't know how that happened. Terry, you're up early all the time in Green Bay, my man. Like, why? What are you doing? Are you up to just to get the show going? You up to start your day? Give me a little bit about yourself, man. I want to know more about Terry. I interact with Terry on the text line. I hear from Terry. Listen, I want to know more about Terry. So, Terry, tell us everything about yourself on the text line today.
Anybody, man.
If you want somebody to talk to, you need to get some off your chest. Text line, man. We'll listen to you.
Break it down. We have a 4-pack of opening day tickets.
Burying the lead.
We have a parking pass.
There we go.
Including 4 opening day tickets. We're going to give away tomorrow morning during the 8 o'clock hour. Be listening around, I don't know, 8:18.
Okay.
And you'll have a shot to win opening day tickets plus the ability to put your car in said venue.
That's right. Get the opportunity to park for free and go to the game.
Tomorrow, each of the shows has a 4-pack of tickets to give away. We're doing it Thursday morning at 8:20. Speaking of opening day, brought to you by KCK PD, accepting applications for new and experienced law enforcement officers, kckpd.org for more information and equal opportunity employer. Baseball got its, I guess, kickoff last night, and I'm sure everybody caught it.
He throws. Trout strikes out swinging. Ohtani and Japan celebrate a World Baseball Classic championship.
That on FS1 last night. Happy birthday to Bob Costas. So baseball had its moment. Mano y mano, the two best players in baseball. Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout.
Going after each other.
Ohtani strikes out Trout, and Japan wins the World Baseball Classic. Guessing they stayed up all night in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
TV Asahi on the call. Again, happy birthday to Bob Costas. How old is he today?
71. 71, yeah.
He's there for a lot of
big moments in sports.
Calls.
Yeah.
So the World Baseball Classic goes to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I almost felt like we had an exercise last night. How long can we stay with it?
Yeah, we did. I made it till about the sixth inning, I think, and then I took some of that Mucinex nighttime, and then I was out like a light. So I didn't see the end of the game, and I guess I'm very disappointed I didn't see the end of the game because it turned out to be Trout versus Ohtani, which is pretty cool, right? You're not going to see that in the regular season until they trade Ohtani at the deadline, and then he has to face the Angels or something like that. But I thought that was kind of cool, seeing Ohtani versus Trout. You had mentioned the two best players in baseball that really nobody gets the opportunity to see all that much because they play on the West Coast. But last night they were on center stage in what everybody was saying was going to be the world's most watched baseball game last night featuring the United States and Japan. So that was kind of a cool moment.
I wish I cared. I really do. I like tried. I got into it. It was a baseball game.
Yeah. Once it started, I was like,
It was an exhibition baseball game.
Yeah.
Like, if you were really into it last night, then you're crushed America lost.
Mm-hmm.
Raise your hand if you're crushed America lost. Okay. And then also, you know, baseball's going to pat itself on the back today. Oh, my gosh. Look how we got that moment.
Mm-hmm.
We got that moment between the two best players. They were highlighting the game last night. We have Ohtani against Trout. And all I can think of is neither one of these won anything.
Right. Ohtani's never been in the postseason.
Ohtani, I guess, has now won something. Still not Major League Baseball, but he's got scoreboard over Trout. But you're highlighting your two best players who've not accomplished the ultimate goal in their sport.
Mm-hmm.
They're the faces of your sport who haven't won anything.
Yeah.
Like, that's a negative. America throws out a pitcher I'd never heard of.
Yeah, Merrill Kelly. I don't know. A lot of people thought that was an investment firm last night.
All I could think of was Merrill Reese.
Yeah.
And all I could think of was this guy
Scrolls
going about
in the backfield.
And all I could think of was how drunk was Merrill
right.
throwing last night. I
also realized I didn't know young people were still named Merrill.
It's good.
Continuing a name that you thought was probably a dead name. Yeah.
It's good. Those traditions, they'll circle back, right?
Right.
Not exactly. And they bragged baseball. Again, this was baseball bragging about itself,
mm-hmm.
telling you about itself, which is fine. They should be self-promoting better.
Look, you had the biggest audience you've ever had, right?
And they rolled out. Look at this $1.8 billion lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Check out this lineup. And they throw out a pitcher you've never heard of.
Never heard of the guy before.
Not a household name. Not even close to a household name.
And I hate to say this because I looked up the guy or was listening or whatever. That guy's been pitching for the Diamondbacks for the last five seasons, Josh. If somebody had played for the Arizona Cardinals for the last 5 years in football, you'd know who that guy was, right? You'd know that individual.
Yeah, because you'd be like, should we come to our team?
Right, exactly. Is he available? maybe Merrill Kelly can come here and throw a few innings, but I'd never heard of that guy last night.
Not a household name, sorry. And if you're a baseball person and you knew who that was and say where it is, fine. I think I'm speaking for the general public.
Right.
If the general public got to that game last night, like, wow, check this out. I'm supposed to watch this. This is kind
big
of an all-star
game.
Moment.
Huge blah, moment. Blah. Yep.
They throw out a pitcher you've never heard
Merrill
of.
Merrill Kelly is on the mound.
Yeah. And I had also tuned in because you'd heard, well, Singer might be backing him up.
Right.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
If Brady Singer goes in, the rest of baseball is probably going, I never heard
I don't know
guy.
Who he is. Yeah, but it's like the all-star game. You want to see your guy, right?
Royals,
yeah.
But I'm like, okay, cool. I like seeing the two of them, he and Witt, during the opening introductions.
Right?
That was great. And then I haven't read a lot of pieces about the game last night, but I saw the one at ESPN, like nostalgically baseball written, like really well written. It sounds like it's a dramatic, terrific story.
Sure,
how
yeah.
baseball is framed with blah, 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 blah. And then I realized baseball's moment happened 3 hours and 15 minutes into last night's game. And darn near 4 hours into the broadcast.
Yeah. I thought the game was starting at 6 o'clock last night.
Right. So I tuned in at 6 o'clock. Well, I texted you. I go, what time's this game I'm supposed to watch?
Yeah.
It was like 6:03.
And I said, I think it's six.
So
yeah.
I flipped it on. They were still in the pregame. It's fine. Blah, blah, blah. I get through. I think it was like 6:25. I think before they finally started. Pitch. It was 9:40 when baseball had its moment. So that's 3 hours and 15 minutes into a game.
Right.
On not Big Fox,
right?
Either.
And if this is such a great game, baseball should have demanded that Big Fox showed it last night. I don't know what Big Fox had on last night. I really wasn't paying attention to what they were running.
I don't know what Wednesday night's lineup is.
You're trying to grow the game. You're trying to expand the game. You're trying to make things bigger and better and get more people involved. And you're on FS1, which is it's not like it's on FS2 or something like that, which I don't even believe that I get. But it's still not on the station that it needs to be on. One of our great listeners.
There was The Masked Singer last night.
Oh, got it. Okay, that's bigger, yeah.
Farmer Wants a Wife.
Yeah, that's big.
That's
huge. Yeah, that resonates well in Hayes.
That's a big show now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard.
Yep.
But
The Farmer Wants a Wife. The Farmer Wants a Wife. Hi-ho the Dario. So, it's better than Baseball Tonight. So, I mean, whatever.
Masked Singer and Farmer Wants a Wife.
Yeah.
So that's, and I'm sure they did well. I'm sure both shows did terrific on Fox.
Yep.
I'm not even knocking Fox. They went with the better product, I'm guessing, in terms of numbers. But from a sports perspective, again, we're supposed to be, they want to grab us with their sport. And you got a moment, but you had to wait 3 hours for it. And to me, I just tuned in. It was just a baseball game. And I don't, and I also am not like gutted that America lost.
No, I'm not gutted
at all. Like you would be in a moment that was truly a moment.
Right.
Like, oh my gosh, we lost.
We lost this one. Like, had that been like a soccer game, I think we probably would have been gutted. Like, had that England game the day after Thanksgiving come down to penalty kicks or something like that, and we had to make the last kick and we win, if we missed, we lose type of thing.
Or Olympic basketball.
Or Olympic basketball. Yeah, when the Dream Team lost that year and everybody was like, oh my God, I can't believe they lost. No. It last night, this is the dynamic, though, between Major League Baseball in America and Major League Baseball around the world. It seems like for all of the other teams, they had their stars playing in this game. You saw Salvador Perez. You saw Otani. You saw guys on other teams that are some of the bigger stars in baseball. And you look around the United States, and we have Merrill Kelly starting the most important game in maybe American country history last night in the World Baseball Classic, and we rolled out Merrill Kelly into that game. Who should have been the starter? I don't know. That's not for me to decide who should have been the starter, but you got to understand the reason Merrill Kelly is starting last night is because a lot of the other big leaguers looked at it and went, I don't think I'm going to go to this thing. I don't think I'm going to be there. Like, Aaron Judge wasn't part of this World Baseball Classic. Wouldn't have been cool to see Aaron Judge representing the United States of America on the big stage and participating in this? I think so. I think he's one of the bigger stars in baseball. Trey Turner showed his contract that the Phillies gave him this offseason. Oh my God, if he does anything like he's done in the World Baseball Classic, that's going to be the greatest free agent signing that anybody's ever seen. Glad to see him participating in this. But yeah, you're some of your bigger stars were not part of what was going on in the World Baseball Classic from an American side of things. And I think that kind of shows you where baseball is right now. Dirty little secret is our local newspaper isn't covering the Royals this year. Okay. I'm just going to put that out there right now. They do not have a reporter assigned to the Royals right now, and they're not covering spring training. Only VernonRoyals.com are covering spring training right now down in Arizona. Kind of shows you where baseball is, because baseball's
check
always
out the
been
all things Vern podcast page, 610sports.com and the Odyssey app.
Absolutely. Download everything you need right there for Royals baseball. But it goes to show you baseball was a newspaper sport for so long, right? They worship the newspaper writer. Only the writers can vote for the Hall of Famers. We have a baseball team in Major League Baseball. The newspaper in town does not have anybody covering it right now. So it kind of shows you where the landscape of baseball has changed in this country, where 25 years ago, and I think I have to say about 25 years ago, or maybe back to the Maguire Sosa, right? What was that? 99, we're talking 24 years ago right now. That's the last time America was truly captivated by baseball, was 1999 when that home run chase was going on, or 98, whatever.
It wasn't Bonds.
No, because people thought he was a cheater and didn't like him.
By the time we got the Bonds, it wasn't as hot.
No, it wasn't. But the summer of 98, that's what it was. So about 25 years ago, that's the last time baseball was truly at the forefront of the sports world in this country. And I don't know that they're ever going to get back there. I don't think they should worry about getting back there. I don't think they should try to be better than the National Football League, because the NFL is so far ahead of everybody right now. But when you do have a moment like this, it would be kind of cool to see the biggest stars in America play in these games if they're as big as everybody's talking about, because the ball washers for baseball, the four or five like national guys that they have been pushing this thing up a hill and talking about how great it is. Sometimes when people tell you how great something is, it really isn't that great, right? It really isn't that great. They're just trying to tell you like a FOMO type thing. And I think that's what we've seen a lot in this World Baseball Classic, has been kind of the FOMO of telling you how great it is. And then you watch it and you're right, it's a baseball game. And I would have loved to see more true American stars than turning on the TV last night and seeing Merrill Kelly start the most important game. And no offense to Merrill, but I don't know who you are, sir.
Yeah.
You could be sitting here right now and I wouldn't know you.
They may have benefited from the spot on the schedule. They hopefully it did well last night. I don't know. I haven't seen any numbers or anything. I hope it did well.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
I give it a shot. It was just a baseball game. Didn't say, oh my gosh. I'm like, just let's fast forward opening day.
I'm ready for opening day.
I'm ready for baseball that counts, and let's see.
But one of the things they did talk about last night is why they placed it where they did. And John Smoltz had a great baseball excuse for it last night. He goes, well, this is when they're fresh. If you do it at the end of the year, everybody's tired.
Sure. And then they'll be opting out.
Like the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
but that's why I still think in the middle of the season, but they're going to do it in 2026, they announced last night. Do it in the middle of the season. Stop your sport down for 2 weeks and play this game and offer bonus money to these guys, because that's how you get people to do things anymore. Give them money to play in the WBC in the middle of the season and use that middle of the season, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is, to refresh the sport. And then you can start a true second half, and maybe that's where we can start saying, all right, we got the first half of the baseball season, baseball classic in the middle, second half of the baseball season, and start valuing the second half of the season, having second half winners make it into the postseason. I would love something. I think that would be cool to have that World Baseball Classic in the middle of baseball season when everybody's kind of geared up, and then you can separate the schedule and reward first half and second half winners.
Not just for the WBC, but for the big dance, names matter. We'll get to that next.
Fesco in the morning. Brought to you by Rayner Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology. It's no wonder LiftMaster is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find us at RaynerKC.com. 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Done. Now we can finally play the game.
Look at that. One man. Goodbye. Hello, Haskins. Incomplete.
Hold the phone, everybody. There's a penalty flag thrown, and I think it's against Miami.
Bob Costas' birthday today.
That's right, 71 years old. Some of the great calls over the years by Bob Costas, one of the great sports announcers of all time.
You request the music on a Wayback Wednesday, 913-586-7610 on the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line. Tag your name so you get the credit.
Our buddy Zach in Wichita, he won a little cherry pie from Warrant this morning. It's good, Kansas City. How you doing, fellas?
Yeah, we're a little misty this morning, I think. A little rainy out there today.
Oh, I thought you were upset about something.
No, losing last night in the World Baseball Classic doesn't start to the day. Can't say I'm thrilled about that.
Nicky Lopez coming up at 9:40.
That's right. He played for Team Italy.
He did. And is now back with the Royals. Mm-hmm. So we'll discuss his WBC experience.
Yeah.
How he thinks it may or may not help him. Because we heard maybe some negatives about Singer and Witt yesterday.
Well, they didn't do anything for 3 weeks. Yeah, I mean, you hate to say it. You saw Singer like pulling on a string or something last night in the bullpen, but never got into the game. Bobby Witt ended up pinch running, but I mean, in 3 weeks, Bobby Witt had, four at-bats or something like that down there at the World Baseball Classic. And so you're like, is he going to be ready for the opening day? It's a good question. Right now, I would say it's probably 50-50 whether Brady Singer's your opening day starter or not. He has no innings built up right now.
Assistant GM Gene Watson joined us on the show yesterday and discussed that a little bit. He thought Bobby Witt.
Watson! Yes!
Bobby Witt could catch up on, a backfield going and getting at-bats, and they could, catch him up, and he's like, but Singer's going to have to build up.
He's got to build up, yeah.
It is indeed a question. You could check that out, download it, 610sports.com or the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Our interview yesterday with Mr. Watson.
Yeah, find out who's going to pitch opening day if Singer can't go.
If you are a K-State basketball fan, the Wildcats have arrived in New York City. New York City.
New York City.
And you should be thrilled because they're in their playbook. Head coach Jerome Tang yesterday.
I think they're excited, but they're locked in, though. I gave them some options of some things to do, and they were like, Coach, we're here to win some basketball games. So I was fired up about that.
How about that?
Yeah.
Here's a list of things to do. Coach, you're here to play basketball. Coach's like,
All right. Walked right into my trap, didn't they?
Got them.
That is fantastic.
Right where we want them.
I like Jerome Tang because he doesn't really sugarcoat anything and doesn't try to be all politically sports correct when he says things. I mean, obviously, we heard him the other day, I don't care. None of those dudes are walking through the door to play for Kentucky or anything like that. you know, being honest about it. Too much in sports, we overthink things and overanalyze things and worry about things that truly don't matter. Jerome Tang's like, I ain't got time for, like, Anthony Davis was here a decade ago. He's not coming through that door to play for Kentucky today, so history doesn't mean anything. And neither does Izzo's success in the month of March. I see everybody falling all over themselves, all the ball washers for the basketball side of things now talking about how great Tom Izzo is, you know, in the month of March, even though he only has that one championship. And that was something, you know, that was when McGuire and Sosa were hot, was the last time that, you know, Tom Izzo won anything. And so you've got a lot of people picking Michigan State in this one based on that past history. And as we know with Jerome Tang, past history don't matter, don't mean a thing. But Team Cleaves ain't walking through that door tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden unless he's watching the game.
Magic
will be there. Yeah, Magic will be there.
Might be too. But yeah,
but they're not playing.
That's correct.
Yeah, they're not playing.
That's correct. K-State's still a dog too.
Yeah, that's why I took them on the money line. I think they're gonna win the game.
The Wildcats.
Yeah.
They can win this game.
I think they can too. Yeah. Man, they're playing really good basketball right now. They're having fun. There's no pressure on them. They're clearly playing with house money right now, Josh.
I don't think it's a 3 seed you play with any house money.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, you get to the Sweet 16. Elite 8 is when you get to the house money.
They win.
Yes.
Even though Michigan State's the favorite. And Michigan State does well for television.
Sure they do.
They are, I guess, one of the few. I consider them probably closer to a blue blood. They played in that Champions Classic.
Yeah, they play in the Champions Classic, yeah.
And so they're the only ones remaining of the Champions Classic group, right?
Mm-hmm. Right now, the TV ratings came out, and the four biggest brands in the tournament this year had the best TV ratings: Michigan State, Kentucky, Duke, and Kansas. Those are your Champions Classics, you know, teams that play. And obviously, North Carolina is a pretty big brand, but they didn't make the tournament this year, and then begged out of the NIT. And so, I still think, you know, while we sit around and we love the upsets and root for the upsets and think the upsets are great, the TV ratings will dictate otherwise, right? That if there's a big name program playing, people are going to tune in to watch. Now, Kentucky drew a really good number when they played K-State in that Sunday afternoon game. The KU-Arkansas game was the second most watched game of the tournament, for the first weekend of the tournament. And so these big-name teams are still drawing the viewers that the networks want. Michigan State Marquette, the most watched game of the tournament so far. Arkansas-Kansas was the second most watched game. Kansas State, Kentucky, third most watch game, and Tennessee Duke was the fourth most watch game. What do those four programs have in common? They all have one of the quote-unquote blue bloods playing in those games. And then it starts to drop off. All of those like had 8 million or more people watching, almost 9 million or more people watching each of those four games. And then Texas Penn State comes in at number 5, and they're like 6 million. So there's a huge drop-off between those four quote-unquote blue bloods that are playing versus everybody else in the NCAA tournament.
What's weird is that Sunday afternoon was the most watched window of the tournament.
Well, that's a time where people, I think, are accustomed to watching sports on television, right? The
helps.
NFL's got us there.
But if you dove in Thursday at 11.
Right.
Like, Sunday afternoon's a little tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know what
it
I mean?
Is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Sunday night is, like, really tough. I think they should dump, and the Sunday night games didn't do all that well. I think they need to end it earlier on Sunday of the opening weekend.
Where are you on that? You're done with Sunday evening games. Always been to
Saturday and Sunday. They do the more spread out format.
Correct.
Right? They play single game,
single game,
whatever. Right. I just go ahead and double those up. Or if you started the tournament, you're used to, you know, mixing and matching, stagger them during the afternoon and not have a standalone. Cause you also run the risk of a dog.
Right. You do. You absolutely do. Yes.
So I would move those up and not play. I mean, I would have watched Gonzaga late.
Mm-hmm.
But it was late.
Very late,
late on
a Sunday.
I'm like, I've been watching since Thursday at 11 a.m.
That's
like,
right.
I'm kind of spent by this point in time. So I'm not completely surprised that late window on Sunday didn't do as well. They had two games at that point in time that didn't do as well, because if you were into college basketball, that's a long run.
It really is. And once they expanded to the TBS and Turner folks, they started to have those late Sunday night games, because back in the day when it was just CBS that was televising the games, they were done by 60 minutes.
CBS.
They were done by 60 minutes on Sunday. And then all of a sudden we're starting to see 7 o'clock on Sunday night. What? Why are we playing 7 o'clock on a Sunday night? Oh, they want to make these all standalone games. But I do think there needs to be a hard out at like 6 o'clock. Like that
60
needs,
minutes. Let's go.
We've seen enough for the last 3 days. Condense these games on Sunday. I don't mind Saturday going all night long. I think that's a lot of fun.
Tick, tick, tick.
But once you reach that Sunday standpoint, you hear that tick, 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 ticking of the clock.
Safer's got to get it going.
You're getting ready for the week ahead. You really are, yeah.
Juju explains why he's going to the Patriots. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
If Charlie Weiss were a baseball player, where would he play?
He'd definitely ride the bullpen car in.
Brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology. It's no wonder LiftMaster is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find us at RainerKC.com.
Back in on a Wednesday, we continue to celebrate Bob Costas' birthday with the greatest highlights in sports.
Happy birthday, Bob.
You requested music on a Way Back Wednesday as well, 913-586-7610. Tag your name so that you get the credit.
Our buddy Jerome in the ATL won a little new addition this morning. Mr. Telephone Man right here on 610 Sports Radio. Fesco in the morning.
Where
What's up, fellas?
Where are they now?
Who?
Still touring.
Are they really?
Yeah, they just launched another tour.
Touring. Wow.
It always is.
Everybody's touring
Ronnie,
now.
Bobby, Ricky, Mike, and Ralph. Yeah.
Now that we're out of the COVID era where people had to go 2 years basically without touring, now everybody's touring. You got a pulse. You're out there putting on a show.
So Juju Smith-Schuster is now a member of the New England Patriots.
That's right.
A 3-year, $33 million deal.
Yeah, congratulations to him, right?
Still, he did well.
Mm-hmm.
So still some people at that rate would say, hey, why didn't the Chiefs sign him? I get it. That's fine.
Right.
It felt like a pretty affordable deal. But
what is affordable, though, for a wide receiver anymore? Because you say it's an affordable deal, right? And I'm not arguing with you at all on that. But is that affordable to the Chiefs?
Did you think he was the top probably wide receiver available in free agency?
I don't know. Probably not. I thought more people would have fallen all over themselves for Odell Beckham Jr., quite honestly. Okay. I thought there'd be more DeAndre Hopkins.
Signed, so, you know, DeAndre Hopkins isn't a free agent.
Right. But no, but I mean, like, just wide receiver could be available.
I said a free agent wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Probably the most accomplished last year.
Had a decent year. Yeah.
Decent year. Like, he was probably definitely a top end.
Yeah, sure. One of your top five.
Unless there was a feeding frenzy.
Right.
You know, low double figures I'd have taken.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking like 10.
$10 million a year, $11 million, which is what he's getting. $11 million a year.
I thought it was a decent rate.
But I wonder out loud, really, what like the Chiefs' budget is for wide receivers. You know, because if 3 for $33 is over their budget, what is their budget? And I'm not saying 3 for $33 is over their budget, but clearly he went and signed with another team for a reason, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't something that they wanted to deal with or work with. Maybe they didn't want him anymore. Whatever the case may be. I'm just wondering right now from like a fan expectation, because we hear about the wide receivers all the time, right? People are always talking about when are we getting DeAndre Hopkins and Odell Beckham Jr. We've laid out that scenario.
What was our friends at Arrowhead Pride today? The wait continues for a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's been a week.
I mean, my God. Well, NewJersey.com declared free agency over the other day. So. And so Arrowhead Pride says, well, the wait continues for the wide receiver.
The wait continues. I'm like, it's only been a week. Let's slow down.
But if you didn't get signed in the first couple of days, now you're on the scrap heap and maybe you don't get signed, right? Like, there are guys walking around right now who are like, man, I thought I was going to get a big contract, like Frank Clark, right? Did you expect Frank Clark to still be out there? I thought somebody would give Frank Clark some kind of contract, right?
I did not.
You did not.
I think he's in the.
You think he's in the Dominican suit? You think he's the mercenary camp now?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Okay. All right. I thought somebody would give him some coin.
It's like Pat Camp.
Yeah.
But it's a bunch of defensive linemen that all work out together, and then they go, who needs a pass rusher
right
at the end of camp and joins the team? Okay. So, no, I figured that there was a good chance he was in that category.
I thought Lamar for sure would have some kind of offer or interest or more than just smoke right now, you know, in free agency. But, yeah, all the big-name guys are pretty much gone, so the wait does continue. Are you going to get it through the draft 36 days from now? Are you going to do another free agent signing, an undraft, whatever the case may be? I'm just wondering, to bring this back, like 3 for $33, you're right. That doesn't sound like a lot at all. I mean, that's $11 million a year. That's what the Royals paid Mike Sweeney in the early 2000s, right? That's not a lot of money. And so I think that the wide receiver allocated funds in Kansas City may be a lot lower than even we're thinking it would
maybe
be, you know?
Well, he made $9 million something last year, but half of it
was incentive-based.
Yeah. So it's not like he was on a
he was not on a big money deal.
$10 million wide receiver last year. He became one by his performance.
Right.
You know, in their dollars.
Right.
Right.
So, sure.
Yeah. It's hard to tell exactly what their budget is necessarily, but.
And maybe the better Patrick Mahomes plays, the smaller that budget gets, man. I mean, and I hate to tell you this, they're relying on Patrick Mahomes to make guys better. And so for people who have this like pining for this big name wide receiver, it's just probably not going to happen here in Kansas City.
And they made it that way too with the trade.
Right, right. They showed you last year and then turned around and won the Super Bowl. So there really is no debating whether or not they're doing it wrong, right?
Juju dropped by 98.5 in Boston and discussed why he signed with the Patriots. And he did not, first and foremost, say 3 for 33.
No.
To be honest, it was Belichick, man. The guy, you know, just the want and the need and, you know, the position that I can fill there, you know, really, really brought my, like, caught my attention. And I felt that like that was the most thing, you know, like feeling wanted in a place where, you know, I played against, you know, a head coach where, you know, I have a lot of respect for. And I just think that that goes a long way.
I think what we're looking at right now is that you look at a guy
for Belichick.
Well, that which is
how about that?
I mean, that's crazy.
Always admired him. Thought he was a, you know, like a coach that would motivate and do whatever. And
yeah,
they had a good role for him.
Maybe.
Okay.
But Juju Smith-Schuster to Mac Jones is what Sammy Watkins was to Patrick Mahomes in his first year as the starter here in Kansas City. We needed to get some weapons around Mahomes because we don't know how good he's going to be. Oh, he's really good. We don't need to get weapons around Mahomes anymore. We'll just stick with Kelce and call it a day. I think what you're looking at in New England is a quarterback that needs weapons around him. Like, I don't think Mac Jones is to that level of Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and some of these quarterbacks that make the guys around them better. He needs good guys around him to make him better. He's more in the camp of Alex Smith than he is in the camp of Tom Brady or in the camp of a guy like Patrick Mahomes, where those guys truly make everybody around them better. We saw Tom Brady do that for the better part of two decades. We're witnessing it right now here in Kansas City. And so I think Juju Smith-Schuster carries more value and fills more of a need in New England for what they're trying to accomplish than what we're trying to do here in Kansas City. The Kansas City Chiefs are looking at it and going, we've got this unbelievable quarterback who may be the best that's ever lived. There's no reason for us to go out and spend money on wide receivers and weapons because he makes guys better. Done. New England's looking at it like, we got Mac Jones. We got a new offensive coordinator coming in. We really don't have any weapons here right now. Let's go out and get somebody that we know is a really good wide receiver that can help our young quarterback kind of take that next step. I think it's the same thinking that the Chiefs had when they signed Sammy Watkins a couple of years ago.
So, Bill Belichick, they can cast a win there.
Right.
If you're the Patriots, like someone wanted to come play for Belichick.
Correct. That's that usually it was, I want to go play with Tom Brady,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
wow.
Belichick's like, see?
Right.
Juju feels a role.
Juju's very good, and I've seen him play before.
Yeah, Mac Jones can find a
right
target. And I was always accused of not giving Brady any
right
any available help. And so decided Juju was probably the best fit.
Mm-hmm. Done.
Congratulations to Bill. He actually got somebody to want to come play for him.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So, the reason.
Somebody on the text line says career suicide for Juju. 3 for 33 is not career suicide.
Then also he could have said in comma, 33 was the best.
Right,
was
the best number that I got, yeah, man. Yeah, that's the number that I got. Another person on the text line says, Bob, there's no way we are starting the season with this wide receiver group.
Why not?
I agree. They'll probably draft somebody.
Yeah, they'll add somebody. I guarantee you they're going to add somebody.
You're going to get somebody.
But if they didn't, I'd be like, okay.
And what's, you know.
I can roll with this group. I'm fine with it, and I think they're probably fine with it, but they're going to add.
Yeah,
look,
course.
They're always adding wide receivers. They picked up like four during last season.
Right.
Might even been more. A couple guys are stashed. I don't know if, you know, the two Rosses are going to be healthy enough to help you, but they stashed a couple of those guys. They're always going to be on the lookout for wide receivers.
And maybe somebody falls into their lap like Tony does again.
It's not over by any stretch of the imagination.
No, not at all. I mean, this is not a complete roster. I mean, we're still less than a week into free agency because free agency didn't kick off like 3 o'clock last Wednesday, right?
Maybe Mecole Hardman comes back.
Hardman comes back. Yeah, exactly. You don't know, but it's just, again, as we've talked about on this show and we've let you know for the last few weeks now, DeAndre Hopkins and Odell Beckham Jr. right now are too expensive. If the price changes on those two guys, the door opens again. They have the conversations. We'll see where we are. But as of right now, where we sit, the price is not right for the Kansas City Chiefs to go out and get Odell Beckham Jr. or DeAndre Hopkins. So take those two guys off your list right now. If you're a Chiefs fan and you're still pining for one of those two guys, that's wasted energy right now unless they drastically reduce their price. I mean, think of it this way. This is still Kansas City, right? They're still not going to scratch checks for bad contracts, and they're not going to extend those contracts and have funny money at the end that is going to hurt them down the line. And Brett Veach, I guess, in all of this, Josh, has become his own worst enemy because he shows how it can be done, and his bosses are like, just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, you did it before. Well, you did it before.
You've gone to five straight AFC championship games. Yeah. We're good where we are right now. Keep doing what we're doing. We're not changing it.
What happens when something changes at your workplace and you've taken on more, and then you go, well, yeah, can I get rid of the more?
No.
And they go, no.
No, no, you keep doing what
you're
doing.
Guess what? You made it work.
Yeah,
I saw you make it work.
You know what? We're going to take less from you, too. Yeah, make you do more.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. We all experience it. Yeah.
Cam Newton says, speaking of 33, he's just 32. Yep. I guess his age is probably 33. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe plus or minus something here, but I was trying to segue awkwardly. Cam Newton throwing it at Auburn's pro day to his brother, which is kind of cool.
That's awesome. That's a great story.
Which is a great little story. His brother is an NFL prospect.
But plays for like Bill and Mary, right?
Played at William and Mary, started at Auburn, and went to William and Mary, and he's an NFL prospect. And that was part of the intrigue of him showcasing himself for NFL teams, but he says he's still available and he's still among the best.
Tell me how these randoms keep getting jobs.
Don't worry about it. I'm going to say, I can't wait to say it. Oh, I love it.
I'm seeing a lot of people toiling the idea, and it's official. I will be throwing at Auburn's Pro Day Tuesday.
118! What is it?
I thought it was bleeped already.
It was. It was. Okay. I tried to hit on and
I was like, I swear it was bleeped.
I thought I had double and triple checked.
I looked away. I hit the wrong button. I hit the somebody cursed button, but this one was already bleeped. I don't know. I saw the video. I can't tell. I don't know. He threw the ball around.
I saw him throw the ball. I don't think they were that great of passes. There was a lot of times where receivers were jumping and extending. Right? Did you see that too?
Yeah, okay, I was not sure. I didn't think I was wowed.
Yeah, like I don't know how many times he hit guys in stride or anything like that. Like I saw a lot of maneuvering of the wide receiver, which I'm like, that guy's pretty good. Whoever he was throwing the ball to, guy's pretty good. And he claims that he's still one of the best 32 in the NFL. I hate to break the news to folks. If guys in the NFL thought you could play, you'd be on a team right now. So there are 32 teams that have told you no. That's 32 different opinions. That's 32 different general managers, 32 different head coaches, 32 different cities, 32 different owners that have all looked at Cam Newton and went, nah, we'll pass. We're good with what we have here. Now, if you're trying to win, and I've always maintained this, if you're trying to win, you're going to take the best players available. If Cam Newton truly is one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the world right now, an NFL team would have them on their roster. I'd rather see Cam play than some of these other quarterbacks that we have right now, because train wrecks are a blast. And Cam Newton, really, I hate to say it to him too, you haven't been really that good since 2019. That 2020 season in New England was a disaster. You played 5 minutes in 2021. You didn't play at all last year. So you're talking really four seasons removed from the last time you were any good out there on the field. If you were good, if you're good, these teams are going to try to sign you and bring you in because these teams want to win. They're not keeping you out of the NFL because there are 32 guys that they believe aren't better than you. They believe that every starting quarterback right now in this league is better than you, and they're going to pass.
One athlete's on the mend in a very appropriate way for his sport. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Rayner Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology. It's no wonder LiftMaster is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find us at RaynerKC.com. Don't miss the Chiefs Red Half Hour every weekday starting at 11:30 on Cody and Gold on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
visualizing, trying to track the line that he wants.
It doesn't look like he's aiming left at all.
Well, it will break a little left at the start. Johnny, that's better than most.
How about in?
That is better than most. Better than most! Johnny, I think it's safe to say you could hit that putt 50 times and maybe make it once.
Continue to celebrate the birthday of Bob Costas with some of the great moments in sports. 913-586-7610 on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. You request the music as well. On a way back Wednesday, tag your name, you get the credit.
Yep, happy birthday, Bob. 71 years old today. Some of the great calls of his career.
Our buddy Jayhawk for life. Wake me up before you go-go with George Michael and wham!
Is everybody like snapping and spinning their hips like George Michael used to do? Didn't he have that sports show back in the day, too?
Yeah.
He was very talented.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was the sports machine, right?
Correct.
Nobody else, just George Michael.
That's correct.
He was SportsCenter before SportsCenter.
Yeah, he pushed that big button. Boom,
and then highlights went.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, the George Michael sports machine is on tonight.
Yep,
And then he went and sang, and he was also a Beatle. I mean, like, who does that over the course of their career?
Right.
Happy birthday, Bob Costas.
I mean, he's singing about Doris Day. You know this is a timely tune.
Great.
Who am I to say? I'm watching old episodes of Johnny Carson these days.
Great hair in the day, too.
Oh, God, yeah. Really good hair, yeah.
Fantastic 80s hair.
He looked like he should have been in Flock of Seagulls with that hair.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you remember Flock of Seagulls?
Guys could only wish they could do that with their hair back then.
I wish I could do it with my hair right now.
Yeah. No chance.
Did you like Flock of Seagulls back in the day, B-Dub?
Of course.
I liked them.
As long as they didn't poop on me, I'm good.
You're good with that, yeah.
You're watching Johnny Carson?
I am. I found myself watching Johnny Carson because it's on Peacock. Look at me right now. Look at me in the eye. You're the one watching Is It Cake on Netflix.
I just said I have watched it. That's all. So, I'm not currently watching, but I've watched it. Yeah, Is It Cake?
So criticizing what I watch, Mr. Is It Cake, and you're trying to determine which one is a real cake.
I was giving you an example. That terrible fish sandwich they keep showing on television.
With the glue. I mean, it's got glue on it. You can clearly see that is Elmer's school glue on that fish sandwich.
And I said that would not pass the test on Is It Cake.
No.
That's all.
No.
On Netflix.
But, I mean, we know in commercials they use glue and stuff to make tartar sauce and mayonnaise look better,
right?
There's
a fish sandwich that's definitely got glue sauce on it.
This one is zoomed in so much you can see the glue.
By a local national fast food joint.
Yeah, and I don't know. That's not considered meat, but they say they have it, and now they have this fish sandwich, and you can clearly tell that's Elmer's school glue
looks
on
like
there.
All right.
Looks terrible.
So, yeah. Is it cake?
And you're like, oh, that wouldn't have passed on it. This is cake. I'm like, excuse me?
Is it cake, yeah.
I said, how do you find this stuff, right?
It's a good show.
And so I'm watching Johnny Carson, which TV back in the 70s, a lot different than today. Very, very
non-PC.
Yeah. Yeah, like non-PC,
hold up, yes.
No, a lot of the stuff he's doing, I'm like, oh, my God, he'd be fired in a minute for doing this stuff today. So I found myself watching from the 70s, and I've heard my dad talk about this before, the gas crisis of the 70s. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that or not, Josh? No. Mm-hmm. B-Dub, you're old, too. Do you remember that?
No.
So apparently, like, there was a gas crisis.
Right, and people would line up cars.
People would line up, and they were siphoning gas.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I told you about my friend Philip Jafferty, who siphoned gas when we were young and then lit a cigarette and then he died. It was the worst thing we'd ever experienced.
I can imagine.
Awful, right? Imagine being a kid and somebody you know siphons gas and then lit a cigarette. Of course, you're like in fifth grade or something like that at the time. Back then, everybody smoked in fifth grade.
I don't think so.
No. But they kept talking about the price of gas.
Not anymore. And after that, nobody smoked
did.
Nobody did, right?
And so Johnny, like all these monologues he's doing, he's complaining about the price of gas. He's like, oh, can you believe the price of gas is up to 70 cents today? The price of gas is up to 85 cents today or whatever it was. I'm thinking, oh my God, like here we are looking at $3 gasoline, right? Losing our minds over $3 gasoline. And 40 years ago, like, oh my God, gas is 70 cents right now. And I'm like, yeah, the horror that you guys had to go through back in the 70s was 70 cent gas, but it was akin to the time, as they like to say. And so I was thinking, if you could bring back 1979, 1980 pricing on anything and have it stay the same forever, What would you take? What would you choose? You could pick anything, whether it be the price of a car, the price of a house, the price of gasoline. The price of air travel right now is actually very cheap compared to what it was in 1979. Comparatively speaking, in 1979, tickets were like $500 to fly. Now, they also had a cart full of nice booze that they were passing out to everybody on there, and it was a nice experience. But now, you know, you can fly for $59, and so the price of air travel is good. But I was just thinking about that. Like, if you could bring back the price of anything from that era, what would it be? And the more I thought about it, I'm like, it is gas. Like, if we could have the price of gas of 79 cents, and that was the standard price forever, I'd be good with that. Because a house, how often are you buying a house, right? How often are you truly buying a car? Every 5 years, maybe? Buying a house once every 20 or 30 years? But if you could keep the price of gas something that everybody buys every day,
not bad,
at 79, 85 cents a gallon, I think that would drastically change people's lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Save people a lot of money.
I think the I guess I would bring back the olive colored refrigerator.
Would those work?
Yeah, the appliances of the day.
Yeah,
knowing that you could still have them now.
Now, right? Exactly.
The longevity of appliances from the 70s. I think it would be something I would bring back.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the average price of a house back then was like $35,000. The price of a car was like, I think it was like $7,500 or something like that.
Not
and
bad,
those
though.
All seem great, but they're one-time purchases, right? They're one-time purchases for the most part. I just think the price of gas being where it is, you know, then versus where it is now. If you told everybody right now gas is 79 cents and it's never going to move like the T-Mobile rate that you get right now on your phone, book now, and we're never going to change your rate. If you could lock in 79 cent gas for the rest of time, you would sign up for that in a heartbeat, right?
Yeah, the house one, though, would intrigue me.
Yeah. The house one is intriguing.
Locking in at a low house price. Like gas prices, I don't ever fret gas prices.
There's nothing you can do
about it, and I don't drive any less.
Right.
Like I'm literally driving just the amount that I drive,
mm-hmm.
no matter what the gas price is. I wish I was, you know, maybe just haven't hit that critical number yet.
Right.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDF, HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Station. Haven't hit that number yet where, like, this is going to affect how much I'm driving. Now it's just like, okay, well, I won't fill up completely if it's at this rate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll make sure I'm using all my Hy-Vee fuel savers and get my dollars down.
Right.
But for the most part, I drive what I drive.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found a price where I go, well, I have to drive less now.
But how can you drive left if you have to be somewhere, right? Now, I will say this, back in like 07, 08, I rode my bike a lot because gas was $4 a gallon.
I think we could all cut a bunch of wasted trips, but I'm like, okay, great. So what if that cost me 65 cents?
Right.
You know, like it just hasn't affected my... Here's how I'm going to reduce my mileage number.
Sure. Yeah. So. I mean, you could cut wasted trips if you order everything online and just have stuff delivered and never leave your house. I mean, you could do it that way. But, I mean, you need to get out and air yourself out a little bit.
And then they're probably paying somebody else's fee.
Correct.
Fee to
yeah.
drive their car. So
yeah.
you're probably not saving a lot.
Right.
Either way.
So. Yeah. So, no, I just think, I mean, if somebody told me today I could lock in fuel prices at 1979 prices and that was the only thing that would reduce, everything else would stay the same, I'd probably sign up for that today.
I wrote a paper on gas prices in college back in 2007. It was $1.19 a gallon back then. I remember, if I remember it right, it's true. Yeah, but I feel like we're still. I didn't drive more because it was $1.19 then.
No, you know I mean, I'm
not driving less. If we go on a trip and it's a drivable distance, we're driving.
We're driving, you know? Yeah, because like, it's still cheaper than flying for four.
Like,
you know,
like whatever.
Yeah.
I'd have the price of I don't know what the prices were back then, but you'd probably take
Canada
that as well.
Canabets is not reducing prices.
Yeah, I don't think we're staying the same. Gas and cheap groceries.
Yeah.
All right.
I also saw the price of eggs back then because I did some research.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like dozen eggs were like 69 cents back then, which up until the recent bird flu or whatever happened in Iowa where the chickens ate each other and then were eaten by like pirates. The price of eggs were, you could get for $1 a dozen. I mean, it's not like the price of eggs have drastically increased until just recently when we had the, you know, low supply.
And those egg prices, those goes back to the chicken now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
of
right.
Course.
The chicken gets all that money. Yeah.
Okay. It goes to payroll.
Right.
Okay, good. Good.
Yep.
I was just making sure. I didn't know where that.
Right. The payroll.
I didn't know where the egg increase went to.
Yeah, all those chickens that made it through the bird flu were squawking and saying, we want our cut or we're not laying anymore.
I long for the days where you could walk into Taco Bell with a 5-spot.
And get
and
something,
get
yeah.
Full.
Yeah, and get
two
full.
Tacos, nachos, some churros, some pintos and cheese, and a pop, $4.20.
You know the exact number on that, don't you?
And
that's with tax.
Yeah.
And it was 420? No, it wasn't.
Always
was it really?
420.
Always was.
What'd you do with that extra 80 cents?
I went back for a refill.
Yeah, all right.
You'd order the whole, like, left side of the menu.
Yeah, you could back in the day, yeah.
Or an extra value meal at McDonald's was $2.99.
You get that double cheeseburger meal for $2.99, brother.
Get that super size
for
extra.
$3.12.
Yeah, come on now.